Listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's Friday, TGIF. And guess what? It's Friday the 13th. Ooh. Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll learn a few things. Good morning, African world. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on African Perspectives, once again, this program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our story is with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Baba Wes Johnson. Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Geronimo Pratt of the Brother Patrick Lumumba with the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. My bad. And Friday, okay, today is Friday. So if it is Friday, guess what? At 7 p.m. on Friday, it's going to be time for an awakening. At 8 p.m. At 8 p.m. on Friday, it's going to be time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, from 5 to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney with activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Pinckney to Pinckney on Sunday from 5 to 6. And at 7 on Sunday, once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right, family, we're going to go right to the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday, June 12th. We'll start with June 12th. Upon witnessing the love and admiration that the domesticated creature has for its owner, one would never guess at the history of fear and terrorism that brought the creature to its present state. Rise, Jehaziel. If Africans worked as hard on resolving their mental illnesses as they do on their physical ones, we would be well on our way out of this difficulty. Understanding this imbalance approach to curing ourselves is only a matter of grasping the degree of difficulty, the amount of self-sacrifice, and the protracted energy which must be expended to achieve success for either. The former, curing our mental illness, requires serious, prolonged spiritual work and our historical study. While the latter, hold up, family, hold on. Hold on.
Sorry, family. A little technical difficulty there. I'm right back. Okay, let me get back to reading the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. While the latter, curing the physical, only requires the willingness to take Western or herbal medicines, adjust one's diet, and single-mindedly focus on self. Imagine the mental side rationalizing this imbalance, saying that a healthy temple automatically gives consciousness of self. No. Imagine a physical, healthy, but menticidal African nation. That's what you have. I take on greater challenges of nationhood. Affirm, I take on greater challenges of nationhood. June 13th, we told them to leave us alone and keep away from us. They followed on and beset our paths. And they coil themselves among us like a snake. They poison us by their touch. Chief Blackhawk of the Sauk Nation. Chief Blackhawk. However measured, Yorugu is the most immoral, unethical, and corrosive agent on this planet. Everything they touch is poisoned, and nothing they encounter is left unscathed. If what they contaminate lives, it becomes so chronically diseased and disfigured that it cannot be distinguished from the vile parasite that infected it. The European Asili cannot hide its need to have and control all. Western terrorism and its projection of its terroristic mentality on others reflects their innate intolerance of fair competition and difference. They will have all, or they will try to destroy everything. They understand only that which is stated and enacted in their own violent, abrasive language. When we study the historical record, their toxic expansion is abundantly clear. We know that asking them to keep their disease to themselves does not work, for they need to project themselves into others in order to become defined as human. It is this, a self-serve betrayal, that projects the illusion that they were in a workable solution within the Western cultural context. They would not call for the total dismantling of European culture. No. Mm-mm. But knowing this terroristic way of being is biologically and culturally infused, we need to ask if this is even possible for Europeans to exist outside of European culture and the global reality that they have imposed on everybody else. The imposition of who they are on the world. Affirm, I know the cause of making war. Affirm, I know the cause of making war. June 14th. I wish I could wrap myself up and fly away from this. Sister Ida B. Wells, I wish I could wrap myself up and fly away from them. We make being African such a difficult concept, and way of life is not so much the problem of identifying who as a people. We are in thought and practice has it in trying to find ways to instill and implement these uncompromised core African traditions in this contemporary, insane, and self-absorbed anti-African reality. To make ourselves take the logical step backward in order to progressively and more beneficially move forward from the position of African power and knowing is beyond the cognitive possibilities of most of us in this place and time. Nevertheless, for those of us who have consciously made the choice to be African, embracing all that it means, no matter what time or place we exist in, direction requires that we seriously reconceptualize what we have misguidedly learned to believe in. Excuse me. What we have misguidedly learned to believe in is African because we have been forced to look at our ancestors through a Eurocentric cultural lens. Serious definitions of what our ancestors were and were not as human beings requires fearless, willing minds, minds which are truly open to honest answers to a very weighty question about exactly who we should be and should not be. In that African intellectual space, there is no fence, no straddling, no gray area. There are only others' lies and our truth. Once again, there are two things, their lies and our truth. Affirm, I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors, Ashe. Affirm, I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors. I'm going to read one more, family. I know I read three on Fridays. I'm going to read this one on June 5th. June 5th. There is an anger that wakes up in you when you are a child, and it builds up and determines the political consciousness of the African man. There is an anger that wakes up in you when you're a child, and it builds up and determines the political consciousness of the black man, the African man. Sister Winnie Mandela. Winnie Mandela. Europeans are quite clear as to the threat of our ever-rising consciousness to their empire. They militarily operate in a fashion to systematically subvert, reduce, and where possible, permanently remove the threat. They operate on the principle of reducing threats by removing their sources. If there are no dissents, there is no threat. And even though their public display of violence against humanity are beyond moral reason, covertly they do even more damage in their effort to gain a future numerical advantage. They know what they do now will determine what they will find themselves in later in the global game of power and privilege. It's called strategic planning. Every successful military force does this. Think about the fact that when a young African male or female is murdered, he or she is not the only one that is murdered. Every individual that person was ever to have produced through the end of the line of his or her generation time is murdered. In the long run, this is a hidden genocidal acceleration, a hidden genocidal accelerant, because this intergenerational genocide does not show up in statistics. Here, genocide is not even detected or defined as such because those who are murdered were never born. Those who work this evil against us know to poison the root. Affirm, I am politically awake. Affirm, I am politically awake. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Family, it's Friday, and it's Friday the 13th. I always talk about Friday the 13th because of the suspicions all around Friday the 13th, you know. And the reality is, Friday the 13th, there shouldn't be or isn't any suspicion, you know, Friday the 13th. But there is. It's created. It's created by them, you know. Because one thing, even though they say it's a bad number, you know, no 13th floor on hotels and office buildings sometimes. I'm not sure too much if the newer ones, they have a 13th floor. But I still think they do that. No 13th row on airplanes because of superstition, you know. Yeah, Friday the 13th. Yeah. It's a bad number. The franchise, the movie franchise, Friday the 13th. Yeah. The fear number 13. Destrotrichophobia. Destrotrichophobia is the fear of the number 13. And there's another word, paradicophobia, the fear of Friday the 13th. Yeah. Only one Friday the 13th this month. Okay. You know, anytime a month starts with the first day on Sunday, you're going to get, you know, Friday the 13th. So any month that starts, I think there's two next year. Yeah. And so they can determine how many Friday the 13th there's going to be all the way up until whatever, you know, trestodicophobia. One source mentioned in an unlucky number reputation of Friday the 13th is the Norse myth about 12 gods having a dinner party in Valhalla. The trickster god Loki, you know, Thor and Loki, who was not invited, arrived as the 13th guest. He wasn't invited. You don't like Loki's ass. And arranged for Hord, the god of darkness, to shoot Beldar, the god of joy and gladness, with a mistletoe-tipped arrow. Beldar died, triggering much suffering in the world, which caused the number 13 to be considered unlucky. The superstition seems to relate in various things, like the story of Jesus, you know, the crucifixion, which there were 13 individuals present at the upper room, on the 13th, you know, the night before they had the dinner. And of course, after the dinner was over, the Romans told him to identify this man. And Judas, of course, said, "I will identify with the person who I kiss." And better now it's been known as the kiss of death. And of course, the next day is Friday the 13th. Now, the next day is Good Friday. The next day is Good Friday because he is going to be beaten. I don't know if you saw... What is that? Can't remember the name of it. The crucifixion with Jim Caviezel playing Jesus with his racist ass. And Mel Gibson with his he's not anti-Semitic. You know, brothers and sisters, please. The Caucasians and the European Jews can use that, and they shouldn't because it's not true. But let us. There's a lot of things, a lot of words that we should not use. We should never use the word slave. We should never use that word because we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We resisted on the continent. We resisted in what is called the Middle Passage. We resisted in this hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere. In South America, Central America, in the Caribbean, and in this country, we resisted. We were not slaves. We were captives. We were captives. So, but there's a lot of other words too, family, that I wish we wouldn't use or weren't used. Yeah. While there is evidence of both Friday and the number 13 being considered unlucky, there is no record of the two items being referred to, especially as unlucky in conjunction, here in the 19th and the 20th century. So it's bull, you know. But they made up stories on it, Friday the 13th. Before I get off into deeply in this, because there's other things they talk about in terms of the number 13 and things they do. But in ancient, see, I look at African culture and what we have done. In Africa, in ancient cultures, in ancient, the number 13, and believe me, we were the first ones to start numbers. You got to know the history. And that's our problem. Many of us, because of our captivity, we begin our history in captivity as if we've done nothing prior to that capture. And we have a long history. And so in ancient Kemet, the number 13 was the number of transformation. 12 completes a cycle, and 13 begins anew. 12 completes a cycle, and number 13 begins anew. The number of transformation. How many jurors on a trial? 12 jurors plus the judge? 13. How many knights at that fiction, and it is fiction, family? King Arthur was not real. William Tell was not. Many of the European heroes and so forth were not real in actuality. And some of the ones they say consistently are real are dubious in that respect, like Shakespeare. There is no proof of them outside of that. Jesus had how many disciples? 12. Of course, you know, you can name some of them, but they're never found anywhere. There's no place where they were buried and so forth. You know, it's like they never existed because they're part of a story. Jesus had 12 disciples. This is a good one, family. How many eggs are in a baker's dozen? Eggs in a baker's dozen. That's right. 13. So when you add Jesus to the 12 disciples, you get 13. When you add the judge to the 12 jurors, you get 13. How many signs in the zodiac? 12. 12 signs. When you add the sun to the 12 signs, the S-U-N, you get 13. So you see, the number 13 is not an evil or bad number. It's not unlucky. So when you add that, you get 13. I hope I'm sounding better. I tell you, I've listened to some of my previous programs, and I don't know, because I talk loud at times. I don't talk loud all the time, do I? But I needed to turn up the volume on my mixer and turn up the volume on how I record. So I hope that's better. I definitely try to do that. So make sure that you can hear me. So, yeah. So, the number 13. Yeah. So, how can we put this number 13 into our lives? You know, there's two things that have seven that are vital to us. Two things that are seven that are vital to us. Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, order, balance, and reciprocity. By putting Ma'at into our daily lives, we have order. We have balance. We move through life righteously. Harmony. We're harmonious with all our surroundings, with each other. Ma'at. Living by the principles of Ma'at. In Kemetic society, what the Greeks called Egypt, but it's called Kemet. In Kemetic society, when you passed, your spirit, your body, was going to go sit in judgment of Aser. Aser is the human god. The main god in Kemetic society was the sun. Ra. Amun Ra. Amun. Amun, which means the unseen, the hidden. Ra. Amun Ra. Ra, the rays of the sun. The life-giving rays of the sun. Without the sun, we would not exist. Without the sun, we would not be able. This planet would be dead. No life. Ever. Amun Ra. So they understood that the power of number 13. They had the seven principles. They knew the power of transformation. But the main guidance in Kemetic society was Amun Ra and Ma'at. Ma'at is a female god, a wing god. And that's what ruled the society. People wanted to live in accordance with Ma'at. You wanted to have Ma'at in your life. So now you have died and you're being ushered in to the judgment. You're being ushered in by the god Anpu. And they're sitting and you're standing before the scales of judgment. And it is being recorded in the book of life by the Netcher. Netcher means God. The god Jehudi. Jehudi is the god of articulation and speech. The Greeks call him Toth. So now, you raise your right hand. You raise your right hand. And you give, you're going to be given the 42 declarations of innocence of Ma'at. The 42 declarations of innocence of Ma'at. I have not. I have not. I have not. Now, you want the scales because your heart is being weighed by the feather of Ma'at. And you want to do what? Maintain balance. You wanted to maintain balance. If your heart becomes heavier than the feather, then you go on to be eaten by the beast of unjust souls. But if you maintain balance after the 42 declarations of Ma'at, you will go on to be with Aser, Aset, and all the others because you maintain balance. Now, of course, there's another group of words that are positive when they're instilled in our everyday lives. And that's the Nguza Saba. The Nguza Saba. Umoja. Unity. We need unity. Umoja is the first thing. Unity. Right now, the most important thing on the African continent is that people embrace the so-called leadership, because there's some cats that have been in leadership 20, 30, 40 years. They got to go. They must go. And a young, youthful leadership that understands unity comes to the fore, because the African continent needs to be unified to deal with all this madness that is outside of it, and to control their land and to control their resources. Unity. And with that unity, we become self-determining. We determine. Nobody outside of us says a damn thing about who and what we are. We determine. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. We work together to bring the positive solution to problems. We work together. The fourth principle of the Nguza Saba. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. We spend money with each other. We help build business with each other. No jealousy, no pettiness. Understanding when you grow, you help the community. Nia, purpose. Our purpose is to love ourselves and to love each other, to love our family, to best in our community. Our purpose. Our purpose as young people is to educate ourselves, listen to our instructors, believe in the wisdom of our family and our guidance. Purpose. Kumba. Creativity, not just the creativity that we have as artists, as entertainers, as basketball, football, whatever players we are, the creativity that we have there, but the creativity we have as positive thinking human beings to create things far beyond. In fact, it's when you look at what we've done here under captivity, oppression, threats of death. Look what we've done. That's why I have issue if they say some cracker invented something during our captivity. Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin? No, he didn't. Some brother was who was sweltering up in that situation. Said, man, it's got to be a better way to separate this cotton from all this stuff. It's got to be a better way. Just like the brother that invented the sickle, cutting grass. It's got to be a way. The sister that invented a baby buggy, all them kids. It's got to be a better way. And so many other things, so many other inventions and better way to do things. The creativity, the kumba, the creativity of in our classic time. And contemporary time, the creativity to build pyramids, temples, and tombs precisely. Creativity. And of course, imani, faith. A faith, a belief in ourselves and a belief in each other. Faith. Yeah. The number 13. So then how can we put that number 13 in our daily lives and transform ourselves? Yeah. The five C's. The five C's. The first C is consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are. Culturally, who you are, physically, historically, who you are, consciousness. The next C, because you have consciousness, you have courage. You have courage because you know who you are. You know who you are historically and culturally. You know who you are. You know what you're capable of because you know what happened in the past. You know your ancestors. And you're proud of your ancestors. You're proud of what they've accomplished. I ain't talking about your family ancestors alone. And that's great if you know your family ancestors who did great things and done good things and, of course, left you a legacy and you carried on. That's beautiful. That's great. But the ancestors that you know historically and culturally. The third C confidence. Because you have consciousness, courage, you have confidence. You know you can get the job, you know you can. Do all the things that are necessary for you to achieve. You have confidence. You're going into the examination process. You're confident. You ain't cocky. You ain't ego tripping. But you're self-assured. You know what you can do. The fourth C, conscience. Knowing what is right and wrong, family, and always doing what is right, always having integrity and principle and standing on it. Knowing what is right and wrong and doing what's right. Being principled. Conscience. You know, what I exhibited at the Million Man March, October 16th, 1995, was what we should and could be. Everybody was just, it was a great harmony that day. It's a beautiful day. I was part of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters working with the Nation of Islam and the Million Man March. We provided first aid. And I remember walking across the mall, and it took quite a while to wade through all those people. Well over a million people on a reel. If you weren't there, and I know now because it was success, everybody said, yeah, I was there. But it took a long time for me to get there. And I remember a brother told this other brother, excuse me, man, you dropped your money. You know, he didn't wait for the guy to turn and then go over and step on it. And then pretend like he picked, you know, pretend like he dropped it and then picked it up. No. That's the kind of atmosphere. That's the kind of feeling you had that day. And that's the kind of feeling we must have consistently and continuously for us as a people. And, of course, the last faith, Imani, that I mentioned. The last principle, faith, not just in an entity higher than ourselves, but a faith in us, a faith in us, in our ability to do it, to do the job. Those are the five C's. How much is 7 plus 5? 12 plus you? There it is, family. Put those seven principles, whichever ones you want to use. In fact, you can put them together. Put those seven principles into your life. The seven principles of Ma'at, or the seven principles of the Nguza Saba. But add to them the five C's of consciousness, courage, confidence, conscience, and conviction. Conviction. Conviction is deep because you're going to finish whatever you start. You went to school, but because of first circumstances that were beyond your control, you had to not go the next year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. But eventually you did it. You overcome because you have conviction. Conviction. Five, the seven principles and the five C's. 7 plus 5 is 12 plus you is 13. Putting the number 13 into our daily lives. And we can resurrect ourselves, family. That's the bottom line. Yeah. So, I'm going to talk about today. A lot of stuff that has been happening. Today is the day that Medgar Evers was assassinated. Yeah. Me and Brother Kwaku, we went to Jackson, Mississippi last year to the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. And we met Cammie Kitchens, who was working with our brother Moses, and with the water, the atmosphere water generating machine, the AWG, the atmospheric water generating machine. And it was a privilege to meet the brother. And a few of the people that we saw at the conference, it's small. It wasn't really big, but it was good. And me and Kwaku went by the memorial for Medgar Evers, his home. His home there has been more placed with all kind of placards and so forth. You can look inside. I don't know if they have inside tours, but you can look inside and you can see just as it was when it happened. And there's placards that you can read. And there's some blood stains on the driveway. Yeah. Edgar Evers. Yeah. And reason why we're talking about Edgar Evers, because he was assassinated yesterday. But what's happening is this administration, with all this so-called anti-woke this and this and that, and renaming camps back to the Civil War, you know, or some people who wanted to destroy the country, and they want to bring those names of those camps back. And Medgar Evers had a boat named after him, a ship. Let me go back down here. Yeah. Some of his accomplishments. Yeah. His movie For Us the Living, the Medgar Evers story, was played by Howard Rollins, who's deceased. And his wife was played by Irene Cara. Merle Evers, I met Merle Evers a couple of times. Lovely lady, no doubt. You know, because I used to be with the NAACP back in the 80s. Me and Muhammad. Yeah. And of course, the movie The Ghost of Mississippi, Rob Reiner. And was it Brian D. LeBeckwith? That guy. But yeah. There was a documentary too that talks about Medgar Evers, and that documentary, and two other, Martin Luther King and Malcolm and Medgar, James Baldwin's documentary, I Am Not Your Negro, came out in 2016. It recounts the circumstances of Medgar Evers' assassination. In the 2011 movie, The Help, a clip of Edgar speaking for civil rights is shown on TV, quickly followed by the news of his assassination and a glimpse of an article by his widow published in Life magazine. The 2020 documentary, The Evers, features interviews with surviving members of his family. The 2022, Till, which was Evers was played by Tolson Cole, assisting Mamie Till Bradley, in the murder, of course, of Emmett Till. Yeah. Yeah. His legacy. Like I said, I went to the NAACP office, and his office is untouched. All these things have been memorialized just as it was. And you can walk through there and, you know, just as it was. Yeah. On the 40th anniversary of Edgar's assassination, hundreds of civil rights veterans, government officials, and students from across the country gathered around his gravesite at Arlington National Cemetery to celebrate his life and legacy. Yeah. And now they want to get him out of there. Yeah. There's some evil people, family. In 2009, the Navy Secretary Ray Mabus a former Mississippi governor announced that the USNS Navy ship, Megger Evers, a Lewis and Clark dry cargo ship, would be named in the activist's honor. The ship was christened by his wife, Merle Evers Williams, on November 12th of 2011. In June of 2013, a statue of Evers was erected at his alma mater, Alcorn State, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of his death. Alumni and guests from around the world gathered to recognize his contribution to the American society. Evers was also honored in a tribute at Arlington National Cemetery on the 50th anniversary of his death. Former President Clinton, Eric Holder, and Navy Secretary Mabus, Senator Roy Wicker, and the NAACP president at that time, Ben Jealous, all spoke commemorating Evers. But it was Evers' wife, his widow, and the contributions to advancement of civil rights. She spoke on his contributions. She said, "Megger was a man who never wanted adoration, who never wanted to be in the limelight. He was a man who saw a job that needed to be done, and he answered the call and the fight for freedom, dignity, and justice, not just for his people, but for all people." Ever was identified by the Freedom Hero, the My Hero Award. In 2017, Megger Evers was named to the National Historic Landmark. In 2019, the site was designated a national monument. His home was named as a site. You can go there. As I said, I've been there. In 2014, Evers was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Biden. In 2025, as part of a series of anti-diversity, equity, and inclusion delegations by the U.S. Department of Defense, a profile of Evers was deleted from the Arlington Cemetery website. And just as I mentioned, the name of the ship that's named is going to be renamed something else. Some evil people family. Listen to this. Yeah, check this out, family.
Megger Evers was a family man, civil rights leader, and a World War II veteran who served in the beaches of Normandy. And he was buried here in Arlington Cemetery after he was assassinated on June 12, 1963, for standing up for basic human rights and equality for African Americans here in the United States. In March of this year, Trump ordered that history be removed from the cemetery's website. And to make America white again and to erase the contributions of African Americans, he's now ordered that his name be stripped from a naval ship named in his honor. This is the act of a bone-spur, draft-dodging, ex-con dictator masquerading as a U.S. president. It's something I think many of us have come to expect, but something none of us should accept.
I say, should never accept it. No, should never accept it. Yeah. So we're going to take a break, family. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about that. Anything else you want to talk about? It's Friday. Friday the 13th. Yeah, it's Friday. living for the weekend. I'm gonna play two things. I'm gonna play, since it is Friday, since we just talked about Mega Evers, and Father's Day is Sunday, I'm gonna play Mississippi Goddamn. That's right. My dear sister. Mm-hmm. Sister Nina Simone. And then after that, then we're going to play Color and Father. Okay? Oh, shucks. Come on now. Don't act like that. Don't act like that. Okay. Mississippi. Okay, here we go.
Mississippi Goddamn is our last tune. We had some requests for it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. Can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset, and Governor Wallace has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Hound dogs on my trail. School children sitting in jail. Black cat crossed my path. I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on the land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. About do. I've been there, so I know they keep on saying, go slow. That's just the trouble.
Too slow.
Washing the windows.
Too slow.
Picking the cotton.
Too slow.
We're just plain rotten.
Too slow.
Try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. My country is full of lies. We are all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying go slow. That's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification. Do things gradually. Bring more tragedy. Why don't you see it?
so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father. I think I'll color him love. Said I'm gonna color him father. I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will. He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man, and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I think I'll color this man love. Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She said she thought that she could never love again, and then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I'll color this man love. He's just been so good to me. I know I've got to color him love. I'm gonna color him father. I've got to color this man love.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Nina Simone, song for Megger Ever and his assassination many years ago on yesterday, Mississippi Goddamn. And of course, in honor of those men who step up to be fathers, who give attention to their children and other children. You know, on my Kwanzaa display, ears of corn represent children. I have two daughters, so I have two ears of corn to represent them. But I have a third ear of corn, which represents...
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Which represents all of the young people that I've worked with over many years, coaching football, refereeing basketball, going to schools on my off day at the firehouse. I remember I worked one day off too. So those off days, I would go to schools and talk with our young people, motivate and inspire them to be the best that they can be. So, yeah, being a father, we need fathers. We need men. And today in our situation where less than 30% of children have a father involved in their life. They had some man who even impregnated their mother, but that man is nowhere in their lives. And some of those men don't drop a dime for their development in their care. That's one thing that is really problematic for our future here. Very problematic is that men, I ain't saying you got to be married, but I remember growing up, and when I hear this song, I think of my stepfather, Roosevelt Ragsdale. He didn't come to my games. He didn't come to when I was boxing. He didn't come, you know, he didn't deal with sports, you know, but he was there. In fact, I'm on my way to Atlanta. For a conference. And it's around my time of my mother's birthday, November 26th. And so I couldn't reach him at the house. And I found out that I knew he had prostate cancer. Found out he was in, you know. So I dropped what I was doing. And I hurried to the hospice where he was at. I wanted to thank him. Thank him for being my father. I remember when they got married. I was like about, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years old, something like that. But I remember all the time that he was there. I remember the time he stuck up for me. When them kids tried to beat me up, he said, let's go find him. Yeah. Yeah, father. We need men to step up, to be fathers, to be an example in some young man's life. That's what I tried to be in going to those schools as a firefighter. That's what I tried to be as a coach, to give guidance and give inspiration, motivation. We need fathers. The phone lines are open. Our phone number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Lusk, how you doing? Ted Lusk. Theodore Lusk, how are you,
sir? How you doing? How you doing, Bubba Oshie?
I'm doing well, man. It was good to see you last night on Dr. Bruce Bridges' program. That was an excellent program. Good program.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. It's good to see you as always.
Yep.
I just thought I'd chime in, and I'm jumping on a little late, but that's all right. I'm just kind of curious, what kind and type of world perspective, world view, do you think that we as African Americans should have in this day and age? Now, after the events that happened just last night across the water, right, in Iran, et cetera, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious to know, is there a worldview that we should be taking on
sure.
for ourselves? We're coming up on to Juneteenth now, and mm-hmm. so what is that worldview that we should bring ourselves to become aware of? And so I just thought I'd ask that and
sure.
get your perspective.
The name. What is the name of this program? Exactly. African Perspective.
The name of this program is African Perspective.
Exactly. And that's what you need to have, an African perspective. You need to be African-centered. You need to rely on our ancestors. You need the scope of understanding who you are historically and culturally and move in that direction. You need to understand that what we're living in is not African. It's anti-African. And it's been anti-African from the beginning, and it will never be that, and never be nothing but what it is. So, what do we need to do? I mentioned many times that the Exodus did not happen in history, in life. It didn't happen, but we need an Exodus. Not only do we need an Exodus coming out of this country, North America or the United States, but everywhere else in the diaspora to go home. Now, if you want to stay where you are and yet still feel good about who you are being there because you know that you have a homeland, then so be it. But, you know, speak those truths. But now if you want to stay because you believe in America, you want to defend America and you want to go fight, you know, just like, you know, the appalling concept of us here in this country going to Africa and trying to assassinate Ibrahim Traoré or any other leader that is doing something for their people because the United States wants those resources. United States want land. That's so sickening and appalling. It sickens me to think that, but that's the reality too. You know, but that's what we need in this day and age. We need a serious Pan-African cultural movement. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. Something that speaks to regardless, because it's not about your religion. As Malcolm said, they don't hate us and do to us what we do because we're Baptists. We're Church of God in Christ. You know, we're Black Hebrew Israelites. We're Nation of Islam or Sunni or, you know, Hanafi Muslim or none of that. Jehovah's Witness. We're not. They hate us and do what they do to us because we African, because we Black. That's why. And that's not going to change. So therefore, we need to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Develop good family life, good community life. Yes. So that's what we need to do in this day. That's what we need to do in this day and age, dear brother. That's for sure.
Well, definitely last night, Dr. Bruce Bridges did bring some things out that, boy, I wish you could amplify that more so a lot. I know that the work that's being done is may not have had as many as up to maybe 15 people per se, but still the amplification of programs such as that, such as one here, the African Perspectives, hopefully you could connect with some of the folks who were on and bring those guys on to share their experiences and perspectives as well.
Well, I agree because, you know, I'm asking all the time. You can dial this number at 215-490-9832 and give us your African perspective as you have done for many years now. And I thank you so much for that, man. You have lent a lot to this program. A lot to this program. Thank you. All right, Brother Lusk.
All right.
Have
Until
a blessed
next time. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, my friend. You too, my friend. Peace to you. All right. Brother Irv, what's happening? Brother Irv, how you doing?
Baba OG, I'm good. Can you hear me?
Very well, my friend.
Fantastic, friend. The great songs that you played, Mississippi Goddamn, and Calling Me Father.
Yep.
But to answer that brother's question the best that I can, how should we look at what's going on in the world? And you're absolutely correct. We should look at the world through an African lens.
Yes.
Look at the world from an African perspective. And you can get a pencil and paper out and you can write down all the countries that Africa has ever invaded or dropped bombs on. Mm. Okay, you're finished. Because they haven't invaded anymore.
Exactly.
They've never been that aggressive people. Not to say that they're not warriors. Mm. We are not warriors. Africa has fought in wars for white folks, for the French. We're fighters. Don't get me wrong, we're fighters. But what these Caucasians do is they systematically take things away from American Africans. In other words, why does it seem like it's so important to take a name off of a ship? I've never seen the ship named after Mega Everest. But they had to quickly let me know that they took that name off that ship. And why is that, Baba Oshi? Because the fight is not for your hands. The fight is for the mind.
That's right.
They have to let you. In my mind, I'm fighting this Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, the Caucasian is doing things to diminish me, to marginalize me, to make me not even exist. We're going to take you out the book. We're going to take you off the website. Well, how does that affect my daily life? When I can still go to work, I can still make my little money and take care of my family. But way back in my mind, I know that this white man that I'm working with feels as though he's better than me.
That's
he feels
right.
as though... He commands me. He has built, you didn't build this country. We instructed you how to build this country. Well, who built the pyramids? I mean, if you want to keep it 100, like the young people say, you built a skyscraper with this big machines that you have. They built the pyramids and it wasn't no big machines. So how did they do that? Mm-hmm. You have no idea because you don't want to acknowledge the genius.
Right.
The brilliance of the African
people. That's right.
You,
the African mind.
You know I'm telling the truth, mm-hmm. Baba Oshie. This is all psychological, what's happening. The thing over in Iran, the Israel has a nuclear bomb. You mm-hmm. know it, I know it, and they know it. Because the United States made sure they had it. They could have dropped a nuclear bomb on Iran, and Iran would be a parking lot right now. They could have done that, mm-hmm. but they didn't, because these are warmongers. They don't want to destroy. They want to control. We don't want to wipe you off. We want to keep telling you what you do. And I want you to live in fear of me. Mm-hmm. That's why we have all these nuclear weapons. It's not about using them. It's about showing you that I have. That's why Donald Trump and his minions are going to have a military parade, which they believe shows strength.
Right, strength, so their might.
They think their might produces fear. Mm-hmm. They think fear makes someone do my bidding because you're afraid of me. But the reality is you're the one that's afraid because you believe the reason you keep doing this, and I'm going to stop after this, the reason you do this to American Africans is because you believe in the back of your mind and in the front of your mind that one day American Africans are going to do to you what you did to them. And that's a scary thought for Caucasians.
Oh, no doubt.
Because
no
now doubt. Their children are afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care how many black white couples you put on this television, how many commercials with this black guy with the white woman, all these little children. I don't care how many times you do that. These American Africans aren't marrying white people. They're marrying black people, just like any other species on this earth. You don't see a lion marrying a lion running around with a bunch of sheep. He's eating them. You know, so stop. Stop playing us for fools. You can show me white woman all day long. That don't mean I'm going to run out. I'm going to show get me one of them white girls. I don't want no white woman. I want someone look like my mama. Okay? And that's mm-hmm. what this is. So the whole game that's trying to be run on American Africans in this country is working for a small percentage of, and those are the ones who appear to have been successful because they have a few dollars or they have a few things. But you know, Baba Oshie, we all come in this earth with nothing and we all going to leave with nothing.
That's right.
The same thing you came here with is the same thing you leaving with, no matter what you've acquired. But what you want to do is leave a footprint in the sand where you've lived, and you want to do something for someone other than yourself today. What have, and Baba Oshie, you have spoken the gospel. I'm not talking about the gospel of Paul or Peter or Mary, all those white folks' names in that book that my slave master gave me. I'm talking about you've spoken the gospel of being African, of knowing where you come from, understanding where you fit in this universe and not trying to make the universe fit into you. Mm-hmm. You fit into the universe, Baba. Mm-hmm. There's a place That's where right. you go. You don't have to force it. And the thing about Maya is it makes so much sense. It's so practical. It works in everyday life. These they took 10 of those things when there were more than 10. Because what white folks do is if they can't be the center of you, of your life, of mm-hmm. your thinking, then they don't want to be there at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to be in charge. Look at Donald Trump doesn't listen. He doesn't even hear you half the time. But he doesn't listen, and the people around him, because people of like mind will gravitate together. Why do I listen to this radio show, Baba Oshie? Because I think similar mm-hmm. to
right.
you.
Right.
I think similar to the people that call. Brother mm-hmm. Lust, Brother Paul, Brother Jay, all these people who call in, Brother Marcus, I think as they think. We have something in common that we can right. work with and build on. And that's what this is about, building
mm-hmm.
and moving forward and moving our people forward, because we're not going to be here forever.
No.
But the ones that come after us have to carry this like a relay race. I pass it off to you, and then you run as fast as you can. And after you run as fast as you can, you pass it to someone else, and they run as fast as you can. And you know, like I know, when black people start running, can't nobody catch us. Right. Amen? So yeah. Anyway, that just means
I say,
you agree.
I say, you
Baba
know
Oshie, Thank you for letting me speak. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thank you for always being there, for always listening and helping out, man. I appreciate
always.
You so much, man. All right, brother.
Always.
All right, brother.
I'll listen to the rest of the show. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you to these listeners. I've been doing this for a long time now, almost over 11 years. And I'm really honored to be able to come into your homes with a voice that comes into your homes and tells you about how important it is to be who you are, how important it is to develop the proper mindset to deal with the issues that confront us, that we're consistently bombarded with, and to think positive on it, and to rely on one another, to begin to build trust, respect, and the willingness to work together. We need unity. We need that desperately. So I'll continue to do this as long as I can. As long as I can breathe. I want to share information. And believe me, I'm not giving you my perspective, because you've heard my perspective many times. It's very profane. You know, very profane. Especially nowadays, the way they're doing things. You know, Donald Trump makes me cuss a lot at his ass. With his flat, funky, stinking ass. He does. He really does. You know, I can't stand him. He's an habitual liar. And the people who allow themselves to be bamboozled by him. He's clearly an habitual liar before he even went into politics or politricks. When I first saw his ass, I can't remember if it was Sally Jesse Raphael, Phil Donahue, or I don't know, and I don't give a damn. But when I saw that son of a bitch, I don't like him. He's arrogant. Somebody, I don't like him. He's a shyster. I don't like that man. And he's proven that over and over again. Man. And now he's in a position where the European Jews might set off World War III. I know they say they can't have a bomb. But they can. United States say nobody can have a bomb, but they can. Not only can the United States have a bomb, they're the only ones that have used it on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, ending supposedly World War II. And all the countries that have them now, Pakistan, India. There's not a country in South America that has it. Canada has it. Western countries. England, of course. You know. Yeah. They have them. And I think that, and I hate to say this like this, but when you have a selfish and greedy people and they're confronted with who and what they are, and not that they would have some introspection and back down and say, well, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is who I've been. This is how I've done things. And for humanity to continue on, I know I put up great documentaries and pictures and movies and shit. Like I'm all, but I really know I'm an evil son of a bitch on this planet. And you know what? You're right. I am. I'd rather destroy it than to turn it over to you or anybody else that's not us. I'd rather destroy it. That's their mindset. I believe that. I really do. I don't believe that if they're confronted with what is right for us as African people to say, hey, look what you've done for hundreds of years on the African continent. All the stuff that you have stolen, we're going to take inventory and we want our stuff back. So arrogant to say, no, you can't have it back. I'll loan it to you. I can put, you know, really. Oh, man, it's like the audacity, the gall of these people. No, you can't have it back. You can't have, oh, but I believe, and I know you too, who are listeners out there, believe that if it was reversed, you know what happened. how they did. Look what they did to this country, how they swept across this country in what they call their manifest destiny. Their manifest destiny. Taking people's land. When they kill, I don't know if you ever saw that picture where the Caucasian is at the top of a mountain of bones, killed the buffalo to starve out the indigenous people. Then on a mountain of bones. And how evil this man has been. Poisoning water. Yeah, I ain't lying. I believe this. When brother went out to L.A. and established that community out in L.A., you know, I believe he poisoned. I believe they poisoned the water. Look how many places are under cities that were us underwater. Hell, right here in Atlanta, Lake Lanier. That was a city of all us that's underwater. There are many other places like that in this country. There are many other examples. There's so many examples, family, that you should say, I got to get out of here. Hell no. And I told my lady, you know, I said, well, you know, go to their family reunion. Go to the family reunion around the 4th of July. Around the 4th of July, I'm going to wear my quintessential T-shirt. That's the quintessential T-shirt for the 4th of July. It's a T-shirt where there's the image of somebody ripping open the U.S. flag, revealing the red, black, and green with a gold silhouette of Africa. You can't tell me that ain't the quintessential T-shirt for the 4th of July. Just bursting out the air. Africa, the red, black, and green. Yeah. But I tell you, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. We want this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Brother Paul, how you doing?
Absolutely, Baba Ochi. I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
Great.
Live and kicking.
Good.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
I'm well. Do they celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day in the UK?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they tally up on the same day. I think
right.
They may do, but
okay.
But they
celebrate a day like that. Yeah, they celebrate a day like
that. They have Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I'm not sure it always correlates on the same days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or same times. But right. Yeah.
Well, this Friday, yes. Excuse me, this Sunday is Father's Day here in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Baba Ochi, you were talking about Friday the 13th, right? And I think I've said it to you before. You know, I'm glad you bring these topics. It does make me think. You see, Baba Ochi, I realize you had a person came on and talked about maths. Mm-hmm. And I used to be good at maths. And it's funny, you know, mm-hmm. when I say I used to be good
like
at it.
Like numerology? Like a numerology and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, formulas. But I had the benefit. My mother got us a math tutor.
Okay. Well, I had the benefit when I was in going for a associate's degree, had to have statistics, and my daughter was good at math, and she really helped me because I'm not good. You know, these standard deviations and so forth. Yeah, but so I'm not good at math, but I recognize that we created math. We did.
Yeah.
You know, Africans did, that we created math. So when they talk about this theorem and go ahead.
Yeah. I hear what you say. You see what it is, Baba Ochi. You know, I think life, I'm realizing now, the age I'm at, life is about growth. Mm-hmm. And everything has to grow and expand. As when they use their calculations, so-called maths calculations, they come to the conclusion that the universe is expanding. They don't know how, but it's expanding. Everything's going outwards. Even the earth is expanding. And one day it will expand so much, it will just explode. Even the sun is expanding. Everything is expanding.
Yeah. Well, things have exploded, you know. Yes.
Huh?
Yes, things have exploded. And you can see that, you know, within the universe.
The sun will expand, and it will expand and eat everything up. And they reckon when it explodes, according to their calculations, it will turn into a black hole and suck everything back in.
Right. Okay? It's a death star.
So what I'm saying is the natural order of things is to expand. Your mind must expand. Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of our minds aren't expanding.
Yes.
It's not. So if your mind is not expanding, that means you're going counter to nature, counter to your nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you just reminded me. The reason why I said I used to be good at maths, because I don't feel I'm – well, let me just say this. I'm going to say for the sake of order, I don't feel I'm good at maths. Okay. Now, but then it's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction, because I don't really believe we created maths at all. Mm-hmm. The point I'm at today, we didn't create maths. No one created maths.
Okay.
See, this is what I'm trying to explain. This is the point. This is my expansion of my mind. Man is so arrogant. Man, in his overstanding, that he thinks he created maths. He didn't create no maths.
Okay.
Maths is in nature. Maths is in nature.
Right. No. Listen, Paul.
Maths
Paul
is in your maths.
Paul. If you get a chance to once again go check out Great Pyramid K 2019, because that's what it explains.
I watched it.
That's what it is. That's what it explained. Pi, the golden ratio, the royal constant, all that is within nature.
Okay. I need to interrupt you there. You see, this is what I was telling a friend yesterday, and you've just you see, sometimes, Baba Ochi, when you're in the ether, when you're in tune, right? Some things you might speak, but when you speak them at the time, you don't always understand what you're saying, because this is what I'm trying to explain to you about being in. It's in nature, right? I'm just going to divert a little bit. Go back to something you said. You talk about the natures, right? You said the natures, and you're talking about Kemetian language. Am I right? Natures.
Right, the natures. Well, my
understanding of natures, you say it means God. Mm-hmm. My understanding of it is it means nature, right? Mm-hmm. But look at this. There's no difference between God and nature, because they're one of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nature is God expressing itself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, man's this ideology, Christianology, is totally flawed and wrong.
Right.
Nature isn't God isn't a man in a bloody sky, sitting in the sky. He ain't no man.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't no woman. But that's how we have to understand it for the basic level. But when you get to the higher level and your mind expands, you realize that this concept of God is infinity, is everything. It's the thing what holds everything together. It has no beginning and it has no end. But man can't get in his mind that there's no beginning and no end. That's why he has to make a beginning and end. But there is none. You see, and I'll tell you this as well. I can tell you 1,000,000% there's no such thing as death. There isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything will put you together, the cells, the atoms, hydrogen, oxygen, all these elements never die. They don't. It's scientifically proven. They just transfer. When your body decomposes, it turns into gas and liquids.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not?
Right.
And it seeps into the earth. But what I've not been told, each one of them elements has intelligence. That's what you're not being told. Even if you watch nature. Look, I grow a lot of things, and I watch a vine. and the vine moves to the left. And do you know the vine? It actually detects things to go around. I watched it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, how does the vine know how to find things? You watch it go up, and it will go and find a branch. And how does it know where to find that branch? Mm. How does it know? Mm. Because everything has divine intelligence. Everything. Mm-hmm. Intelligence is not in your brain. It's in your cells. They've just been misleading us. Mm-hmm. We think intelligence is in our brain. It's in our cells. It's in every part of your body. You know, if I tap your finger, I can reproduce you from the cells in your finger. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Cloning. Mm-hmm. That's how they clone things. Once they take your hair, they take the cells from your hair. How is that possible? Because everything in you is in every element of you. So every element of you has intelligence. Mm-hmm. Everything you look at is looking back at you. This is not what they're telling you. So hear what I'm going to say. I'm going to wrap it up.
In fact, hold on. Just hold that. Hold that. Because when, you know, one of the tests for drug testing that many people feared most was not blood, not urine, hair. Because hair could detect whatever you did, whatever you, for years. Now, you smoke some weed, but you got a drug test coming up and you know it. If you stop smoking, especially if you're a chronic smoker, you stop 3 months before the test, 3 months, 90 days before the test, you might pass the test. But if you smoked it and they said, now we're not going to give a drug test urine sample or blood. No, we're going to give it hair. Then your ass is fried. You know? Because that's how long it stays in your system. Hair. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And one thing on that, what you've just said, right? Mm-hmm. Baba Ochi, after you go this thing they call death, you know your hair still grows. You know that, don't you?
Hmm.
After
yourself,
death, your hair continues to grow after death. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Okay.
Right, now, on that point, I'm going to give you another example. Henrietta Lacks. You remember Henrietta Lacks?
Henrietta Lacks. That's right.
Right.
And her sales.
Have you ever watched the documentary?
Yes.
By Way of the Flesh?
Well, by the way, I've seen the documentary on Henrietta Lacks and her sales that continue to grow.
The one you need to watch is By Way of the Flesh. That's the original one.
Okay.
Watch that, because many of us have missed what's going on here. Many of us don't understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
The genius of this woman, right, the genius of her, is that when she died, her cells, which had never happened before, they never could find a person, continued to live, her cells, outside her body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and you see it in By Way of the Flesh, they explain this, yeah? Mm-hmm. Her cells continue to live outside of her bodies. They'd never see that before, right? Now, I don't know how many of us that happens to, but they found it in this woman. So after this woman, that they were able to start to look and classify what cancer is. Before then, they couldn't. Because when they take the blood out the body, the cells die according to them.
Right.
Yeah? But hers started to multiply and live on. So her cells now are everywhere around the world. They're even in people. They didn't even watch the video. I'm not making it up. Just go and watch it. They're in Russia, America, Britain. Her cells, you know. Her cells. Because they use her cells to test every medication on the planet. Did you know that?
Right. No, I did know that. And that was the reason for the lawsuit against the American Medical Association for using her cells and preserving them without the consent of her family. Now, what's the name of that documentary again?
I think if my memory serves me right, it's called By Way of the Flesh. It's an English director, but that's the best one because I think that was made in the early, that was the first one made, yeah? I watched it because there's a girl in America who done some, I think she was doing some university degree and then she came up across the information. Then she made some other, I think she's the one who went and visited the family and put it in the mainstream. But it was, the By Way of the Flesh was the original one. And to me, when I watched that, I think, if I remember rightly, it's in several parts, but everybody should watch that and see because it's mind blowing. The information in there is absolutely mind blowing.
Mm.
You understand? And, you know, they use her cells in all medication, not just in America, all around the world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, look, what I'm saying is, going back to what you're saying about Natura's, right? and you said it means God.
Right.
My understanding of it means nature. But you just, you've just highlighted something for me, because the reality of it is the reality of it is that nature really is the spirit of what we refer to as God. When you watch nature, that is the spirit of God. That is it. Everything it does. It doesn't get born and go to hospital or go to college. It just knows what to do because it's tapped into the spirit of God. That's what it is. Understand? So hear what now? We are the caretakers of the planet, but we don't behave like caretakers. So therefore we suffer.
Right.
We don't know what we I'm telling you, I don't care what people think about me or people want to tell you only take one call, you dumb. Listen, this is the truth I'm going to put to you. Our only role of the planet is to take care of the planet and everything within it. Not like psychopaths. Look at the psychopaths. I am so glad that we are seeing these psychopaths in full color, because some of us have been talking this from time, but most of us are dumb, deaf and blind to it because we want a job from them. We want to fuck off their lollipop. We want to go and beg them for everything, beg them for our freedom, beg them for everything, beg them to cover us, beg them to feed us, beg them to house us. That's where we're at. And now I'm tired of the bullcrap. That is where we're at. We beg these people for everything and then, we go and call them names. You call someone name, you're begging them. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. You got, like you say, Baba Ochi, you got to walk away. And if you can't walk away from it, you look pretty pathetic when you're calling them names. The white man is the white man that. And you still have to suck on the white man's lollipop. Listen, man, wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank
man.
You.
All right, man. I tell you. By way of the flesh, I'm going to find that. Yeah. So, you know, Brother Irv, you want to chime
in? Yes, Brother Baba Ochi. Sure. Baba Ochi, can you? Wait.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really quickly, Baba Ochi, you was talking about Henrietta Lapse, and I know a little bit about Henrietta Lapse because I'm from Baltimore, those were the Caucasians that stole her cells. John Hopkins Hospital.
Okay.
Because they were called the body snatchers in Baltimore. People were disappearing. Oh, yeah. John Hopkins Hospital has a very dark history when it comes to American Africans in Baltimore. And people will tell you about how they would snatch bodies and use them for research and all this type of foolishness. But we can expect that from this Caucasian with the evil spirit place that they live in.
Sure.
But no, Henrietta, he's absolutely correct about Henrietta Lapps. Her cells live on forever, which is amazing. And she has been taught, they've said that she's the reason for many of the
medical things. All the medical discoveries that people have and medications and remedies and so forth. Yeah. Henrietta Lacks and her family didn't get a dime. Didn't get
of
a dime.
They did.
Now,
of course
I don't know about today, but at the time there was a big over, they didn't get a dime. I'm not sure if they come to some kind of settlement or some kind of agreement, but the bottom line is, you know, is that she is the one that proved that being who she was, that her DNA, her cells could live on and on. Yeah. All right, brother.
Yeah.
So let me get another caller in here.
Put me on mute. Just one.
Okay.
Add that. Thank you, brother.
Brother Jay. Whoa, Jay, what's happening? How you doing, Jay?
Go ahead, man. Someone else. I'll pass.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's been a beautiful day. I know I only got 10 minutes left in this program. But I just want to say I'm, once again, very, very blessed and very thankful to be able to come to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to share information with you. Had a good time last night. Brother Lusk was on Dr. Bruce Bridges' program. Dr. Bruce Bridges hasn't been on in quite a while, and met some people there last night and told them about this program. Hopefully they'll call in and want to be a guest on the program or just listen. You know, the bottom line is we're trying to put something on our minds. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to get you to think. Trying to get you to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have put us in, and to get you to think, And that once you are outside of those boundaries, because I always say that, you know, the European, the Caucasian, the cracker, Urugu, has a vice grip on our mind. And if you know that tool, you recognize that tool, a vice grip. Once you set the grip, you can't open it. Once you set that, once you clamp down on that grip, that's there. But now there's a knob at the end of the handle of that grip. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge. And the more information you get about yourself and who you are, your traditions, your language, your culture, the more that vice grip is being released until finally you can open it up. Now, it's not that you, after you open, that you challenge Caucasians and beg them and plead with them. No. Kick their ass to the curb. Don't even talk about their ass. Don't even do nothing with them. Nothing. And you work with brothers and sisters to help them to release the vice grip that's on their minds. And you come together and plan and strategize to build on a level that we've never built before. Build on a level that you see the Chinese building on and other cultures building on. Now, of course, I know that the Arabs didn't build those things. They brought people in because they got money. They had stupid money, you know, through the oil. And they imported, because they imported people all the time. That's what they do. They imported some Africans, particularly neutered Africans, eunuchs. Imported a lot of Filipinos. Imported people with most impoverished, and so therefore, whatever I give them, they'll be happy. So, you know, but to build, let us come together to build roads, ports on the continent of Africa. Let us build highways to crisscross the continent, ending any borders, any passes. You are African, you have free will to travel, and developing a mechanism for you to do so. Interstates, highways, cities, towns, ports, hospitals, schools. You notice I ain't saying a damn thing about a church. But if y'all come together and you want to build a church, you do so. I know, in Cote d'Ivoire, then the leader, I'm not sure if he's still there, built that big basilica, biggest outside of Europe. Man, yeah. You know, the things that have been done to us, it's so criminal. People who have dogged us out and robbed us and messed up our minds, that we can't think outside of those imposed boundaries. But we have to. We have to release that vice grip. The only way is acquiring knowledge of ourselves. The only way is listening to programs, reading books, going to conferences, watching, instead of watching foolishness on the television set. And now you have access to so much, so much. I hope many of you who are listening that you did go to YouTube and watch some of the Great Pyramid K 2019, and you recognize what we did, because that documentary clearly tells you who you are and what you did. And how you did it. We need that, family. We need that. Jay, if you're still out there, man, listen. You have a good weekend. Have a good weekend. You have a good weekend. That's all I can say, man. You know, it's Father's Day weekend. And I know what you tough thing that you're going through, brother. So hopefully you're back with us on Monday. So, all you brothers, have a good weekend. You know, it's good when you get the accolades of being a father and some gifts and this, that, or the other. But it's even better, even much better, exemplifying and doing the things that a father should do, instructing, having fun, showing you how to do it. Now, because I had daughters, you still have to be a father. I know that certain ages, they're going to be beyond you. But as they grow up, the love you show them, the tenderness you show them, and they'll look at you, and they'll look at the man that you are, and they won't fall victim to foolishness that's out there. They want a man like their father, who was honest, who had integrity, who was serious-minded and playful at times. Do you know, even me and my daughter would laugh because we still play the way we do. You know, my daughters are 50, 40-some. They old. I ain't going to say that to them, but I still play with them, you know. We still say funny stuff. But we need men to step up to be real fathers. We need the decrease of us as men out of the prison industrial complex. We need our numbers to start going down as in that area, and our numbers going up in the areas of education, in the areas of job creation for ourselves. We ain't asking for the cracker for nothing. And I know our lives are contingent, in this country, contingent upon what they do, because this is theirs, not ours. And we can't all of us do what it would take. That's not going to happen.
Baba Ochi.
Hey, go ahead. You got a couple minutes. Before you go. Sure.
Before you go, right, I want to say to you, yeah, I want to say thank you for doing what you do, right? Because as far as I'm concerned, all these thousands of miles away, I've listened to you for a long while. And I feel in my spirit, you're the real deal, Holyfield. You're the real deal, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you are. You are, man. You're the real deal, man. And some of the things I've heard you do, you know, you're a fireman and you put your neck on the line, brother, and you ain't giving up. You could sit down on a beach and enjoy your retirement, but you ain't doing that. So for me, man, I feel privileged, Elder. I feel privileged to be able to interject with someone like you, because me, you can hear it in my voice. I am sick of the fake, man. The sofa surfers and the pretenders. I am sick to the stomach. I'm so sick of it that even when they talk, I'll be rude enough to just cut them off and turn away and walk off. That's how I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't even want that in my energy.
Right.
But I give thanks to the ancestors of people like you, Brother Irv, and all the real deal Holyfield brothers. Because that's what we need in this battle now. We're tired of the fakers, man. Take care, bro. Keep up the good work. Keep the fire burning.
Love you, Paul. And one day, man, I'm going to take my ass over to the UK, across the pond, and we're going to have a good time. Because me and Irv talked about it, and Brother Kwaku, we said, we're going to do this, man. So we are. And maybe next year. Okay? We're going to plan it and make it happen.
Brother, right. Ancestors guide you and protect you all, man. Take care.
Ashe. Peace, my brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the Ofe, the cracker, the hunky, whatever, the white man, the most potent weapon in their hands is our minds, the minds of the oppressed. And this program, as Brother Paul has said, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Enjoy this Father's Day weekend, and you be safe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Thank you. Peace, family.
Great show, Baba.